This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today we're speaking with Christine Cooper, the CEO of Aquium LLC and the co-managing member of Kohler Fitzgerald LLC, a law firm with a national practice. Christine leads the firm's healthcare practice and is dedicated to assisting and defending plans and patients. And Christine, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're more than welcome, and thanks for your time. So Aquium, I understand, was launched nearly a year ago, and during that time, Aquium successfully resolved 6,000-plus claims. That's incredible, by the way. Saving over $31 million, 97.2% of disputed charges. And those are some fantastic numbers right there. What drove the formation of Aquium and the demand for your technologies and services that support health plans and medical billing? Let's start there.
Aquium was created to protect patients, health plans, and insurers from unfair medical billing. So the cost of healthcare is a tremendous expense for employers, families, and individuals, as we all know. Periodic surveys by the Kaiser Family Foundation have revealed that half of the U.S. population goes without healthcare due to concerns over costs, and a quarter of those who receive care have financial hardship with paying medical bills. So Aquium was formed to address these ever-rising healthcare costs and provide innovative solutions to decrease medical spending and provide protection to both employers, employees, and their families. Through a combination of data, technology, and a partnership with Kohler Fitzgerald, which is the law firm with a national practice, Aquium provides advocacy services, including legal advocacy, and delivers savings to patients and plans.
Well, we're certainly appreciative of the impact you're already having in such a short time. Now, another question for you. What is surprise medical billing and how does it impact our health care system today? Touch on that if you would.
Yes, that is a hot topic today, especially with the passing of an enactment of the No Surprises Act. So balanced billing occurs when providers, hospitals, and physicians bill for amounts in excess of what a healthcare plan determines is appropriate for the covered charges. Surprise medical billing typically occurs when a patient receives care from an out-of-network provider. These unexpected and often high-dollar costs are the difference between what a provider charges, so what a hospital charges or a physician charges, and the covered amount under that healthcare plan. It's often a surprise because the charges exceed the participant's expectations regarding out-of-pocket costs, such as their deductibles, their co-payments, or their co-insurance. The balanced bill amount remains a financial liability for that patient. Many workers are financially fragile these days and are living paycheck to paycheck. Many aren't prepared for any out-of-pocket medical expenses, let alone an unexpected medical bill. That fragility has increased with the ever-increasing cost of medical care. And healthcare cost inflation has prompted increases in employee contributions and point of purchase cost sharing, such as those deductibles, co-insurance, and co-payments. So it impacts household budgets significantly. And despite promises made in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the cost of healthcare coverage continues its steady increase as we, all feel the effects from. For many Americans, those out-of-pocket medical expenses are an unexpected financial burden, and as a result, many workers don't have the savings to cover those everyday medical expenses, let alone a true surprise bill.
And isn't that the truth on that? Thanks for your feedback there. Now, also, tell us what led to federal legislation and the significance of the No Surprises Act, or NSA. Get into some details there.
Sure. So the No Surprises Act was a long time in the making. For years, members of the House and Senate introduced a myriad of bills all targeting surprise medical billing. They held hearings, they had negotiations, they spoke repeatedly about the evils of surprise medical billing and their desire to fix it. In 2019 alone, at least 9 bills were introduced that addressed surprise medical billing, but nothing passed. That is until the end of 2020. And the No Surprises Act actually came as a surprise. At the end of 2020, the No Surprises Act was tucked into the much larger Consolidated Appropriations Act, which was signed into law on December 27, 2020. So prior to the enactment of the No Surprises Act, more than 30 states had passed and implemented state-level protection against surprise balance bills. but those really only covered fully insured health care plans. The state legislation varied in the amount of protection offered to the insured and the patient. However, states do not have regulatory authority over self-insured health care plans, which provide health coverage to nearly 70% of employed Americans. So there was a big gap in that protection that the No Surprises Act addresses. Those plans are, the self-insured plans are governed by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA, and various provisions in other federal laws like HIPAA or the ACA. And those self-insured plans are exempt from the state laws. So the NSA comes in, the No Surprises Act comes in to offer protection to most everyone and fill that gap.
Really do appreciate all the feedback and insight and information here. This is absolutely fantastic today. We're with Christine Cooper, the CEO of Aquium LLC and the co-managing member of Kohler Fitzgerald LLC, a law firm with a national practice. Christine leads the firm's healthcare practice and is dedicated, as you've heard, to assisting and defending plans and patients. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Healthcare and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Christine, what medical services and claims are protected by NSA?
So under the No Surprises Act, providers are prohibited from balance billing members for items and services received in four situations. The first is out-of-network emergency care at an out-of-network facility. So for example, imagine a patient gets into a car accident and is taken by ambulance to an emergency facility that isn't in their healthcare network for stabilization and treatment. And they are then balance billed for the difference between the charges by that emergency facility and what their health insurance will pay. So that's the first one. The second is care at an in-network emergency facility from an out-of-network provider. Take the example of a patient undergoing an emergency surgery. Say they came into an emergency room suffering from a heart attack at a hospital facility, and he or she did her research. They know where their in-network facility is. It's close by, so that's where they're taken. But the anesthesiologist who's administering and monitoring the anesthesia may be out of network. So the patient could not choose who their anesthesiologist was when they're coming in for such emergency care. That is covered by the No Surprises Act. The non-emergency care at an in-network facility from an out-of-network provider without the patient's informed consent is covered by the No Surprises Act. Same example as above, but say it's an elective surgery or a pre-scheduled surgery and an anesthesiologist who's out-of-network happens to administer the anesthesia. And finally, air ambulance services are also covered by the No Surprises Act. For example, a patient has to be care flighted or life flighted. They don't get to choose who their air ambulance provider is, nor are they probably in a position to do so. So that is the fourth area that is covered by the No Surprises Act.
Now, another question for you, Christine. When will the rules and provisions of the NSA actually take effect?
So different components of the NSA go into effect at different times. And the enforcement of some provisions have already been delayed. There's a lot packed into the No Surprises Act. The provisions that you see in the news a lot right now pertain to the prohibition on surprise medical billing by providers and air ambulance carriers. Those requirements went into effect on January 1st, so just a few days ago. While the requirements are currently in effect, I will caution that they may be stayed pending the outcome of certain lawsuits that have been filed. Four lawsuits have been filed by different associations, the Texas Medical Association, American Medical Association, the American Society of Anesthesiologists, and not to leave out the Air Medical Providers, the Association of Air Medical Services. They take issue with certain components of the Surprise Billing Act, and in particular with respect to how the payments are determined and how the resolution process will go. So those are all pending right now in various courts across the country. So that may change or delay or stall the effective date, but for now that is January 1st. Two key provisions that have been indefinitely delayed are the requirement that providers and facilities give healthcare plan participants a good faith estimate of the expected charges, and healthcare plans provide plan participants an advanced explanation of benefits. So the Department of Health and Human Services is looking for additional comments on the good faith estimates, and insurers can't provide an advanced explanation of benefits unless they have that estimate. And what that really gets to is a patient under this act is entitled to know, how much is this going to cost me if I go to the hospital for X procedure? And so the hospital is supposed to give an estimate. The plan is supposed to give the breakdown and the explanation of benefits in advance of any of the care being provided. Those regulations have been delayed. Many of the other delays in enforcement have occurred because of conflicting provisions between the No Surprises Act and another rule called the Transparency and Coverage Rule, which was issued as a result of former President Trump's executive order on improving price and quality in American healthcare to put patients first. And the purpose of the Transparency and Coverage Final Rules is to give consumers the tools needed to access pricing information through their health plans. So a lot is built around transparency in both the No Surprises Act and obviously in the Transparency and Coverage Final Rules. The NSA contains certain transparency requirements that conflict with those other rules. So the conflicting rules are going to be delayed, some until January 1st of 2023, some until later this year, and some indefinitely. So it's important when you're talking about the No Surprises Act to look at the different components to know when things are going into effect. But that key provision protecting patients from those balance bills went into effect as of this January, January 1st.
Fantastic. Some good news on that front. Now, lastly, what strategies can employer-sponsored health plans and their members take to prepare?
So the NSA is likely to increase medical costs paid by employer-sponsored health plans, which will likely trigger increases in employee contributions and point of purchase cost sharing. The No Surprises Act offers plan sponsors a strategic opportunity to manage healthcare spend and to improve the employee healthcare benefit experience. Not only are there going to be new administrative costs to meet the requirements of the NSA, but the reimbursement rates for out-of-network claims may increase. Additionally, providers are now charging below median rates. Providers now charging below median rates will likely increase their in-network rates to median levels, because why would an in-network provider have to accept less than an out-of-network provider? So to avoid these concerns, employer-sponsored health plans can adopt self-insured health plans. Employers who self-fund coverage are attracted to the unique cost management opportunities compared to the premiums, taxes, mandated benefits, profit margins, and other requirements that are typically part of a traditional fully insured plan. One such opportunity is the adoption of reference-based pricing strategies. Reference-based pricing can be a self-funded health plan's most valuable provision. It's designed to moderate skyrocketing costs of hospital reimbursement systems. RBP establishes a benchmark fee schedule and payment ceiling in lieu of a traditional provider network. It's based typically on a percentage above Medicare and establishes that common payment ceiling. Plan sponsors and members benefit from the consistent application across all providers and health networks. And many states have actually adopted RBP processes, and it's now commonplace with Medicaid, too. The most effective way to address the NSA and to prepare for it is the adoption of a pure reference-based pricing plan that puts the patient in the driver's seat as a healthcare consumer.
And that certainly is the way it should be. Christine, really appreciate all the information and insight, and especially what you do in this space and for joining us here today. If listeners wanted to get more information on Aquium Health, where's the best place to do so?
So the best place to find more information is through aquiumhealth.com, and we are happy to answer any questions and further this discussion.
Again, listeners, it is aquiumhealth.com. Christine, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Christine Cooper, the CEO of Aquium LLC and the co-managing member of Kohler Fitzgerald LLC, a law firm with a national practice. Christine leads the firm's healthcare practice and is dedicated to assisting and defending plans and patients. And for more information, once again, visit aquiumhealth.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.